Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. It's for Benny! We made it to 450! And Tommy sitting over there, what's up, man?
Not much. Halfway to 900 episodes.
We're going to make it to 900 episodes. We might die first, but we're going to make it.
I mean, one of those two things is going to happen. We're either going to get to 900 or we're going to die. So let's hope for the former sooner than the latter.
So 450 is a lot of episodes.
That is a lot of episodes.
I hung out with some people. I actually did some live streaming yesterday with some nice people that I've gotten involved with as part of 3D Web Worlds, and they're doing a lot of live streaming and marketing for us. And I spent about 3 hours live streaming with them yesterday. I told them about this show, and so I gotta say what's up to the Fancy Fans crew. Yeah, that's their name, the Fancy Fans crew. And I told them that we were up to 450 episodes, and they were like, dude, that's a lot of episodes. Yeah. And I thought, yeah, it really is. It's a lot of episodes. So yes.
But here we are.
Yeah.
And we're just keeping on trucking. Which is a good thing. So we're glad you're here. We got a good show for you. Well, I say a good show. We've got sad news. We've got
very sad
mourned the death of an industry staple. So we'll talk about that momentarily. And aside from that, we actually don't have a whole lot of news, but we're going to have a good time talking games anyway. But we have to say thanks to the Patreon guys. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, and Luik. Whew, it's a mouthful at this point. Hey, I love it.
I like it.
That's a nice problem to have. I got to take a breath in there somewhere. Thank you guys, of course, for your support. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do that. Go to GamingUncensored.com, become a patron right there by the top of the page. You can also watch this episode live on camera in JV's. Yes. We were talking about it before we fired up the mics, that you're like getting to official man cave designation, and it still sounds like a cave, which is when you started the show. Yes. It's like real literal man cave. It like literally sounds like a cave still, which is fun.
It does. It sounds like a cave. And the guy that works with me, I think I'm working his last nerve because like he comes in and he's like turning lights on and opening doors and he's not from here, and so he doesn't really understand that you can't leave the back door open because snakes and rats and whatnot, you know.
Right.
So I will come out of a room from doing something and the back door's just open and I'm like, bro, can't do that.
Even more of a cave. Get some wildlife living in there.
Absolutely. And
burrowing creatures.
We have never worked, and I'm not saying this as a negative, we have never worked in such a bright environment as this. Yes. Like, I'm turning off lights, I'm covering windows, I'm doing all kinds of stuff, and I'm like, there's too much light.
Yeah. I mean, Everybody else in the world is like, natural light is great. And we're like, shut out all the light. Zero light.
I'm looking at my face right now. I got like this on the side of my face. I'm looking at because my back door is like right there. And I'm like, we got to do something about that. We got to get some freaking blackout shades or something. Yes.
For sure.
Nuts.
Yeah. But looks good. You know, that natural light just framing your face right there. I've been doing a lot of video work lately. And so, like, I'm all about the natural light, except for us, because we're not that pretty.
So I got to tell you, here's where we're fixing to get some cool stuff, because I obviously have the computer set up. I'm in the living room. I have the computer set up, all the sound stuff plugged in. And in front of my face is a 65-inch television. Nice. I have a soundbar coming. We have another television that is totally devoted to security cameras. And so we can have lots and lots of fun with people walking by the front door, just be like, hey, what are you doing? You know, because it's a Ring doorbell, so we can randomly yell at people. Yep. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah. We got one of those. It's a different system, but we got the same thing where we can talk through our security cameras just here recently. And Genevieve very much enjoys that, of just like spooking people. Hey, we can talk to random people at the door. So that's fun. So all that said, before we get into everything else for today's show, we got one other exciting thing. We have a sponsor for today's show. So we are excited that today's show is sponsored by Opera GX. If you are familiar with Opera GX, you already know it's cool. If you're not, we're going to tell you a little bit about it. So Opera GX is the first gaming browser with features designed to help you both game and browse the web at the same time. We've been using it recently, and I've just really fallen in love with it. It's now become kind of my go-to browser, especially for gaming stuff, for a couple of reasons we'll tell you about really quickly. So first of all, just as you guys obviously know, one of the things we have to do for this show week to week is find all this gaming news, which involves me just going to a billion different websites to see what news is happening in the gaming world. One of the cool things about Opera GX being a gaming browser, gaming-centric browser, has a feature called GX Corner, which is kind of a customizable homepage that just has a lot of gaming stuff that you can put on it. And so there's a like release calendar, there's game trailers, there's kind of highlights of different games, but it also has a gaming news aggregator right there built in, pulls from a bunch of different websites. In fact, a lot of the same websites that I go to on a regular basis, they're all just right there. So a lot of today's show notes are straight from GX Corner, where I was able to go there and find, you know, a lot of the news. And so we're going to talk about like Sonic the Hedgehog 2, of all things, here in a little bit.
Yes.
The new movie, which is apparently pretty phenomenal and setting records for gaming movies. Nuts. But that new story came right from GX Corner. Super cool. And a bunch of the other ones we're going to talk about today. So that's super cool. Like I said, also has release calendar and other stuff, which is really great. And so if you're just looking for gaming information at your fingertips, that's super cool. Has another feature called GX Player, which I know you've been enjoying.
I am thoroughly enjoying that. Before I tell you about that, I know y'all are thinking, crap, do I really need to download another browser? I have like 18 browsers. Why do I need this? You heard what he just said. I'm just going to add a couple of things. I want to talk to you about GX Player first, because that is by far my favorite feature. And basically what it is it's a player with all the different streaming music services in there. You got Spotify, you got Apple Music, you got SoundCloud, you got YouTube Music. They're all there. You just sign in and you go. It's that simple. And I am listening to a ton of music right now because it's in my browser. Like, it's in the browser. I don't have to do anything. Don't have to open the app. Don't have to do anything. It's fantastic. And the other thing that I've been playing with that I love is that it has several instant messengers built in. So Facebook Messenger is in there. Discord is in there. A bunch of other ones. So I'm just like signed into everything all the time. And it's you on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. We hate Facebook. Despise Facebook. I don't like that I have to open Facebook. With Opera DX, I can be signed into Messenger and not have to open Facebook. It is the coolest thing ever.
And if you listen to us on Spotify or one of those other services, you can listen to us right
now. That is correct. You should. Absolutely, yes, you should.
For sure. And then the other, this is what I think is really the selling point to me, especially for the kind of gaming focus of GX Browser, is that it gives you control over how much CPU, how much RAM, and how much bandwidth that the browser is using. And so this, to me, is the game changer because for, you know, the browser that I usually use with a billion tabs open bogs down my system so much. If I try to game, I have to just close out everything. But this will actually let you set a cap on it. So if you have your browser open and you're trying to play a game, you can set a cap on how much RAM your browser is using. And then you have the rest of it available for your gaming or for whatever you're doing. And so you don't have to worry about GX slowing down your gaming. That's a huge bonus. It's a super cool feature. And again, to me as a gamer, probably the best reason, the best rationale I can give you to use it. So you just don't have to close it down when you open a game because it's not going to bog down your system. If you don't want it to, you can set those limits. And if you're like playing online, you don't want it sucking up bandwidth. You have limited bandwidth. You can set a bandwidth cap on it, which is super cool. So join us, millions of other gamers, in optimizing your gaming and browsing experience with Opera GX. Go to operagx.gg/gaminguncensored. That's operagx.gg/gaminguncensored to download Opera GX. Check out all of those features. All free, by the way, obviously. Great browser, yes. Not going to cost you any money. Everything's free here. And by using the /gaminguncensored, they'll know that you came from us, which we would greatly appreciate. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. Literally, super, super solid browser. No complaints.
I seriously was totally shocked. Really, really great browser. Really enjoy it. I am having a great time with it. We're going to keep using it because they've sold us.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will be back.
Yes, we definitely hope so. So all that said, we should talk about some games.
Let's do it.
Where do we want to start? The obvious place to start is Horizon, right? But I feel like we've talked Horizon.
Okay, so
we're just playing Horizon still.
let me just mention this. I've been in my house. It's Monday. Monday's sort of kind of my day off. And so I haven't had a lot going on today. And so I've just been sitting watching you play games all day. And I literally like 4 hours of Horizon today.
Nice.
And it is, the more I watch of it, I'm like, man, this thing is so good.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so good. I don't even really know what to say with it. It's just good. It's a great game. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. You put more hours into Horizon at this point than anything probably for the last 6 months, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm not regretting that at all.
it's definitely not a bad thing. It is, to me, it's just that captivating of a game, right? Like, that's the whole thing. It's just a blast. And so it keeps sucking me back in. And the past week or so has been busy. Been just a lot of stuff going on personally. And I've had less time to game, and that's been kind of killing me because I'm like, I had so much momentum. I don't want to lose this momentum. So I'm getting back into it at this point. My schedule's slowing down a bit, which is great, but it's so compelling to keep me coming back to it, which is something that even really good games often don't get me, you know? And this one, it's not like the best game ever made. We're not going to come away from it saying it's the best game ever made, but it's just, darn good and super fun to play. And it's just like, I just want to play it. I just like it's, I think about it when I'm not playing it. I want to get back to playing it. Like I'm thinking about like different things I can do in the game during the day, which some games, you know, I play it, I'm fine. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy being the last game that we played that we adore, and it's a great game. Yes. And on Game Pass now, and you haven't played it, you have Game Pass, go play it. You have no excuse at this point. That's great. It's not a game that I thought about a lot when I wasn't playing it, right? It's just, it's not the kind of game that has that like strategic nature to it, like something that you're like, oh, I wonder if I could do whatever. It's a like you sit down in front of it, you play it, and you get up and you move on. And there's nothing wrong with games that are that way. I don't want to say that as a dog on Guardians, because Guardians is great, and what it was is a really, really great package. Horizon does something different in that it's open world and it has these kind of strategic elements to it. And it's that like thing that gets in your brain and you're like, oh man, what if I would have, or what if I went and did, or what if I, you always have those kind of what ifs going on in your mind. And so when you pick it up, you're like, now I get to explore. Now I get to try things. Now I get to go check out this thing that popped into my head at some point or whatever. Right. And that's fun in a whole different way.
And it's not something I'm real. Here's why I'm struggling. I'm probably 6 hours behind you, probably 6 or 7 videos behind you. And the reason why is that I can't multitask while I'm watching you play Horizon. It's not a game that I can turn on and just have other stuff going on. It's almost impossible to not focus on that exclusively, which means I can't, like, work has to be done because I can't, it's hard to even check email because every time I look up, I'm like, did I miss something? What did he yeah. just do there? I don't understand. It's totally captivating in that way. And that there's not a lot of stuff out there like that.
Yeah,
and I,
for sure.
And you've said it before. It's because of the gameplay. It's because of the way that the game functions. Because I'm even going to be slightly critical. You said it's not the best game ever. And you're right. It's not the best game ever. It lacks in so many different spaces, even story. I mean, the story is good, but it's not like the most compelling story ever.
Yeah.
It just, like, the dialogue is okay. I'm more and more annoyed by the dialogue the more that we go.
Yeah.
Because it's all based around these triggers in the world. And if you're moving at the correct pace, I'm sure it all works. But normal humans move faster than that. So yeah. She starts to say something, and then before she finishes what she was saying, she's on to the next thing. And I'm going, okay.
Yeah.
It's thoroughly annoying. The entire thing is based on the gameplay. And yes. The gameplay is totally compelling.
Yes. Like, I'm going to do something crazy and compare it to what I think might be the best game of all time. And again, it's not. I'll be clear about that.
Right.
But in that same way, what I think might be the best game of all time is Breath of the Wild.
Yes.
It's at least, you know, top three for me. And Breath of the Wild, a lot of those complaints you just made are similar complaints I have about Breath of the Wild. There's a lot of things that we didn't love about Breath of the Wild, about how the pacing worked, or about like in that game, like the dungeons and the boss fights and that kind of stuff from Zelda's past and whatever. And yet it might be the best game of all time, right? Like to right. say that there are complaints doesn't make it bad by any means. The pacing, no. the story isn't super compelling. You're right about that. Like I'm not super invested in the main quest line. That shows by the fact that I have not pursued the main quest line like very strongly at this point.
I will say the first game, the story was more compelling than this.
So far, yes. Because, this one may pick up, but you're absolutely right.
Well, the reason why is, and I said this when we started this several months ago, I said that it is very much a continuation of the last game. And so you're doing the same stuff that you were doing in the first game, but there's no real massive change in the world. Yeah, the world's ending. Yeah, we got this climate stuff. But all of that was in the first game, yeah. Right? Like, and so it's very much like an expansion pack, a DLC kind of a thing, which is not a bad thing, but I'm not like, ooh, what's going to happen next?
Yeah. Like, and even though the first game story was more compelling, it wasn't groundbreaking. It wasn't the best narrative that I've ever played. So the idea that this game's story is comparative to the last game, it's kind of ballpark the same place. And that's fine, because it's the gameplay that's compelling, just like you said. That's what makes Horizon so good. The rest of it's kind of, frosting on the cake. It's fine. Sometimes the frosting on the cake kind of sucks, right? You've had those cakes before where you're like, cake's pretty good, but the frosting's, but the cake's still solid. The cake in this game is the gameplay, and that's what really matters.
We're not, the game is not bad. It's not a bad game. It's a great game. It just has these little, we're being nitpicky. I think is what it comes down to.
I would be hard pressed unless, because we're not Souls people, that's the Elden Ring's next on the list. We're going to crack open Elden Ring soon. I have it installed and ready to go. And have it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we're going to do that soon-ish. But I just love Horizon so much, I can't give it up. But we're going to play Elden Ring. But I'm guessing, because we're not real Souls people, we're going to enjoy Horizon more. You and I, even if we're going to be like, Elden Ring's probably a better game. We're going to have more fun with this. And I don't see anything coming out aside from potentially Starfield, which I'm very skeptical is coming this year. I'll believe it when I see it. They keep saying it. If that comes out, that might be my favorite game of the year, but I don't think it's probably going to come out this year. I don't see anything that's going to surpass Horizon right now for just how much I enjoy this game this year. Like, I think it's going to be my favorite game of the year, and we're in April right now.
Here's the deal with Elden Ring. Elden Ring is going to be great during E3, and we'll talk about E3 in a minute, but we're gonna have a whole lot of time to play a whole lot of games, I think. And I think Elden Ring, along with finishing A Way Out, is going to be is gonna be what we do. Of course, we'll be moving PCs and doing different things during that week, also.
But I
feel like Elden Ring is what we will be doing during that week. And I think it will be a lot of fun while we're together. I think Elden Ring is going to be a blast, but I think we're going to get bored with it.
Yeah, I'm really interested to fire it up and see kind of where we land on it, if it can compel us, because I just don't know. It's not a thing that either one of us has ever done, and we really need to do it together. That's a big part of Elden Ring, is I want us to have that experience together. And so, for that initial
Soul. I tell you what, I've said it. I invested in the big TV.
Yeah,
we're investing in good sound. I called my brother and I said, "Did you order the good sound?" He was like, "Oh crap, I forgot." And so he ordered it while I was on the phone with him.
Nice.
We're gonna have good sound. The neighbors are going to hate us, but I don't care.
It'll be fantastic.
It's gonna be a lot of fun, and that's exactly. That's exactly why I think Elden Ring is going to be fun together.
Yes.
I don't because we have one on PS5, the Dark Souls remake,
the Demon
right?
Souls, yeah.
Yeah, Demon Souls. You play like an hour of that, and I don't think that you are at all compelled to really go back to it.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to, but there's just always been other stuff I wanted to play more. Right. And that's the thing. It's like right now, Horizon, I want to play more than I want to play, you know, anything else. And that's, it's more compelling to me. And
so
we'll see if Elden Ring can be that once we fire it up.
So since since you brought that up, you were also playing Tunic.
Yes.
Or you were last time we did a show. The reason I ask is because you were trying to split time between these two games. Is Horizon that much more drawing that you're just like, okay, I'm going to play Tunic later?
Yep.
Or how's that working out?
Yeah, I haven't touched Tunic since last time we did a show, which is a shame because I really want to play it. But I've had so little gaming time, just, again, busy time of year. And so when I've had a moment to game, it's Horizon. And what I love about Horizon is I can just fire it up for a little bit of time and go do a side quest or just go harvest some parts, which, by the way, big shout out to Logan. Big listener to the show, always piping in on Facebook and Twitter, which we love you, Logan, of pointing out, and I use this feature when I very first started Horizon, I forgot all about it, and so he reminded us about the jobs option in the quest menu, that you could set a job for like a piece of gear to upgrade it or whatever, and it'll help you track that, which is brilliant. Right. And so we complained about that last week. He told us how we should not be complaining about it. So we appreciate you there. That's something that I could just fire up and do for, you know, 20 minutes, or I could do for 3 hours. And that's
what I've been watching for the last like 3 or 4 hours. randomly walking around and getting parts for people, which is kind of comical. The other thing that I have to mention, and I'm going to do this now before she comes running in, the other thing that I've been watching is the idea that your daughter really likes to smash things.
Yes.
Like seriously, she's like the Incredible Hulk. Yes. Like, she just, all she wants to do is find a machine and smash it.
Yes.
And I think it's hilarious because you, sir, are a pacifist.
Yes.
And I really find it funny because I can just hear her like, Dad, there it is. I'm going to smash it. For a girl that has a pacifist for a father, I think it's severely ironic because she loves to smash.
She does. So she's four. So like, it's, you don't want to put too much of personality on a 4-year-old, but we're obviously to that point where she's really developing a lot of personality. And the one thing I'm pretty confident of is she is not a pacifist. When it comes to like fight or flight, she's fight. She is 100% fight. And so like the first few times, you know, she played Horizon, she was just running around and like swimming and that kind of stuff. She, you know, she really loved that and was just like enamored with the world and thought this character was cool and all that kind of stuff. But once she found the dinosaurs and the fact that you can fight the dinosaurs, like that's all she wants to do now. Is like, she's like, gets a controller. I'm like, hey, you want to run around here? And she's like, yeah, show me where the dinosaurs are. You know, like point me in the direction of dinosaurs. And she goes and runs. And then she just gets owned, right? Because like it's, except for like she did really good fighting I don't remember the ones that you can mount from the very beginning of the game, the chargers,
right? Chargers, right?
Yeah, ones that don't really give you a big fight back. They're kind of defensive. They'll fight back a little bit, they'll charge you, but they're not like overly aggressive. Like she took down a pack of them with a little bit of help from me, but fairly minimal help.
Absolutely.
She like she kind of owned it. Then she was like, all right, I can take out any dinosaurs. And then she went and found, you know, some like ravagers or something that just destroyed her. She was like, that was awesome. Let's do it again. You know, like, yeah. It's just, yeah, she just wants to beat down dinosaurs, which is fabulous. The one thing I'm like real protective of, I'm like, I'm not going to let you go fight people yet. Like that's not yeah. in the cards. We're going to have not a lot yet. More conversations before, yeah. but mechanical dinosaurs, like beat on them all day long.
I just think it's hilarious because I know your wife well enough to know that she walks in and goes, Lord.
Yes.
How are we going to fix this? Like, there's no way we're going to fix this. She's totally, totally ruined.
Yep. It's so. Wonderful. I love every yes. second of it. So yes, that's what is. We've been playing. We'll play a little bit of something else at some point, but probably not soon. So get prepared for more Horizon. That said, we do have some news to talk about, and we definitely want to spend a little bit of time specifically talking about E3. So the news, because it's happened in a week and a half ago or so, or whatever, so everybody's probably familiar with or doesn't care, which is also fair. But for us, it's big news. E3 2020 is officially canceled, period. No in-person event, no online event, 2022. Yeah. Not happening. Not a thing. The ESA is saying they're shooting for a comeback next year. I am pretty skeptical about that, right? Like, we have had E3, even through, you know, COVID, they figured out something to do to kind of make E3 sort of a thing during COVID. But it just, yeah, it was already a dying thing. We missed 2020 because of COVID. They kind of did something last year. Missing this year, I have a hard time seeing E3 come back, and if it does come back, being anything like what it used to be.
So I'm gonna ask a very depressing question because when I saw that, the first thought that entered my brain is that you and I, ever since we started this show and even when we were kids, have been waiting for the second video game crash, right? Yeah. That crash where everything just burns and they have to start over and there's all these studios that close and all of this stuff. Like, you and I have been waiting on that.
Yeah.
That's been a thing. And when I saw that, I was like, this is the beginning. And I know that there are people out there, like our boy Mike on the Facebook page. I love seeing what Mike posts because Mike is that guy that's like, yeah, COVID sucks, but I'm going to tell you what needs to happen. Movie theaters need to close because that's the most awful thing ever. We can just watch everything for home. Like, Mike is that guy. He actually posted that. He was like, movie theaters rip us off. We don't need it. Just get it to us in our houses, you know? And I know there are people like that. And we've even said on this show that we think the digital aspect of things is really cool, and it is, but I really feel like we're going down a road that is not good. And it's the same way with retail in the United States and really all over the world. Sam posted a picture of like a retail strip mall and of like everything being closed. I remember one day everything was closed and there's just all this blowing trash in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is going to be the United States in 10 years. And I thought, you know what? He's right. Because everybody's buying everything off Amazon, including us. But back to gaming, that this is that step for gaming. I know there's a lot of people out there thinking, oh, it's all digital. It's all good. We can just watch whatever we want to, whenever we want to watch. I don't think it's going to work that way.
I see. That's where I disagree with you. And I actually, like, I think the point of the gaming industry of our youth is dying is true, right?
Yeah, okay.
Like, what gaming looks like today looks nothing like what gaming looked like for us growing up. And to me, E3 is like a last part of that. Like, growing up, E3 was such a thing. Even before you and I started doing this show, even before you and I knew each other, we were both, like, following E3. You know, like, this goes back to, like, when we were in high school, junior high. Like, this was a big deal for us. And that's a bummer to me, right? But so is Nintendo Power, you know? And obviously, Nintendo Power hasn't existed in two decades or whatever. And, like, the gaming industry's fine. It is different, and that makes me sad because we're getting old and nostalgic, and you know, we like to hang on to those things that are familiar. But the gaming industry, I feel like, even though it's changing and a lot different than what we see in the past, is really strong right now. Like, it feels like it is pretty solidly stable. Weird, right? Like, things like Game Pass have like upended what gaming looks like. But Game Pass is doing well, and Microsoft is still making big games. It's not like this is preventing them from making AAA titles by any means, you know, and people are wanting to put their stuff on Game Pass because it gets them exposure. There's a great article this week, not even in show notes, but I'll mention it. Go find it, about Guardians of the Galaxy we talked about earlier, and how it's kind of now having a second life because it now landed on Game Pass and more people are finding it, and Square's thrilled about that. You know, the industry looks different. I don't think it's going to crash. I don't think it's same way with like movies. Like, I think that's a good way to put it. Movie theaters are struggling, and COVID is obviously a part of that, but there were already things that were difficult for theaters before. The Oscar winner was an Apple Plus movie, right? For Best Picture, it was an Apple Plus movie. Like, the streaming services have changed what movies look like, but the movie industry seems to be doing just fine, right? Like, the industry isn't suffering. Theaters are suffering. The gaming industry, I wouldn't say is suffering, but GameStop is. You know, like, GameStop is near irrelevancy. I haven't bought a physical copy of a game since, I think Spider-Man is the last physical copy of a game that I bought. It is literally, like, I went back and forth about whether or not to get the disc-based PS5 or the discless PS5, and we ended up with the disc-based one because there's what was available. Like, honestly, I would have bought either one I could have got my hands on. The one I got my hands on was the disc-based one. And I kind of made up my mind that that's the way I wanted to go. The only disc that has ever been in my PlayStation 5 is Spider-Man. That's it.
See, when you find one without a disc drive in it, I'm taking that PS5 from you.
Which, by the way, you still can't find them.
I still want a Blu-ray player in my house. I just do, especially with this big screen and all that good stuff.
But all that to say, the industry, I think, is just fine, at least for now.
Like, what everything that I said, I think, is 20 years down the road. And so it's not immediately. You said the right thing. For now, everything's good, and it will be for 20 years or so. I don't think inflation is going to help. But with Game Pass and whatnot, like, we're not spending a whole lot of money on games, and neither is anybody else. So
it's just different. Like, the whole economy around gaming has changed. And going back to E3. E3 is a part of the old gaming economy, right? Like, 20 years ago, E3 was necessary for these game companies to get news out about their games because there weren't a billion different podcasts, a billion different YouTube channels, Twitter and Facebook and all these ways that game developers could get their games out to people. They needed these big showcases. They just simply don't anymore. Like, the fact that Sony hasn't participated in E3 for 4 or 5 years, whatever it's been, that hasn't hurt Sony a bit. You know, like, there's just, like, Sony can do their state of play, and we're like, oh, cool, new state of play. Let's go watch it and get all these big announcements. And it doesn't have the same impact of E3 of being this singular event, but the announcements have just the same impact, right? Like, it doesn't really change the fact that when they announce a big game that we're like, oh, big game announcement, let's go watch, you know, kind of thing. E3 was a spectacle and we love that spectacle. Like, we're going to miss it.
I still
but it just does it. Yeah, I do too. I want it to go on forever, but it's not necessary in 2022 gaming like it was in 2002 gaming.
Because my deal with what's going on now is that there's a lot of weeks that go by that I miss stuff. And you have to send me a text and make sure, hey, man, did you see this? Because we got to talk about this. It's very easy to miss stuff. Like, you can have GX Horny, you can have all the aggregators you want, you can look at news sites every day, which I used to do as a kid. I don't anymore. I need to start doing that again. But it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to miss something. And that's something that I struggle with gaming as it is now, is that it's really hard to keep track of everything.
Yeah.
And it that's not going to change. It's something that I had to get used to. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I was hanging out with the Fancy Fans crew doing some streaming yesterday, and they're all 25 years younger than me. they're all young guys. And there's a girl in there. My friend Ray's in there. And they're all younger than me. Like, she was talking about last night that her first major memory was 9/11. You know? And I'm going, wow. That's a lot. And so, yeah, we're old. And this is me stalling till he gets his earpiece back in. Really, here she comes again.
She's, go ask Mama if you can have some lemonade. Shut the door. Because I don't have to get back up again. Thank you. I heard her coming. So I was like, oh, here we go. And she literally. All right, go ask Mama.
You got a 4-year-old and I got Jeff.
Right.
Like,
we just get all kinds of interruptions.
I sent Jeff a text. I'm like, dude, we're about to be on the air. He still walks in and he's like talking to me on the side. I don't know how much of that you saw, but he's like talking to me. And I'm like, dude, can you not see what's happening here? This is a live show, man.
It's the joy of podcasting. She just like walked in and just grabbed her lemonade that she left in here and just walked out. Like, forget y'all. I just need my lemonade.
Yeah.
That's where we rank at this point. She used to think absolutely. This was cool. All that said about E3, I'll mention E4 is not going anywhere. We adapted E4 to the Idiots Explaining Entertainment Extravaganza a few years back for this exact reason. So E3 no longer is dependent on, or E4 is no longer dependent on E3. So we will be here this summer doing something. Probably, I would guess, around Summer Game Fest now. Jeff Keighley is officially doing that again during the month of June. We'll have to see exactly what the schedule looks like there. But that will, I imagine, be newsy, and Jeff is good at this stuff in the
good
format that E3 hasn't been necessarily great at. And so I'm excited to see what happens there. And I'm going to miss the spectacle of E3. It was a dream of ours to go to E3 one day. I don't know that that's going to happen now, even though the ESA is saying that they're putting all their efforts into making it big for 2023. So maybe we're wrong and they come back.
Real quick, before we get off this, I'm trying to figure out what their reasoning was for canceling in the first place. Like, you can't really say COVID at this point.
Right. And they didn't, to be fair. They had said originally, because back in kind of January, they said that they weren't going to do the big in-person thing because of COVID. But they were still holding on to the digital thing. With the digital cancellation, they just said they're not doing it. Which, I mean, to be fair, like, it takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of resources to pull that off.
Like,
I could very easily see they just don't have the resources to do it.
They probably looked at Jeff and they're like, yeah, okay, we'll just let this guy do it.
Yeah, he's doing fine. We can save money, focus on other stuff, all of which is true and fair. So, we'll see what happens with Summer Game Fest, but we're going to be here. We're going to be talking about games this summer. And so whatever that looks like, you're going to get a lot of us at some point. And so just yes. Be prepared for it. That said, moving on to a story that I don't know if you've seen. Going back to your like little, I text you.
I did look at the show notes. So okay, so then I've you
did yeah. easier to know. Remedy teaming up with Rockstar to remake Max Payne 1 and 2.
Okay. I know.
This I've been looking forward to because I know Jamie loves some Max Payne.
I love Max Payne. I do. Max Payne's one of my favorite games of all time. I do not want to see a remake of Max Payne. I love Max Payne, but I don't want to see a remake. I'm not interested in that, and I can't tell you why. That doesn't Daddy. Seem like fun to me.
Yeah. I hear you, and as somebody who's much more of a fan of the series than I am, I trust you on that. But I will say, if I were to trust anybody in remaking Max Payne, having Remedy doing it after doing Control and using the same engine that they used for Control for the remake has me pretty excited.
It's gonna be good. But here's the thing that bothers me about it. It's gonna be good, but Max Payne was an upgrade title 10 years ago. When Max Payne 3 came out, that was a title that you upgraded a rig for. And the first thing I thought when I saw that story was, crap, it doesn't matter what I own when this comes out. It's going to have to be upgraded because that's what Max Payne does.
For sure.
And so that's, to be totally honest, that's the part of it that I'm not really excited about. The first and second game are great games. And I think the negativity that you're hearing from me is I don't necessarily need another copy of them just so they can look prettier. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, absolutely. That's always the thing with these remakes, right? Like, is it worth a remake? And so you and I both are massive fans of Mass Effect, and neither of us have been compelled about the massive. I have it.
Yeah.
And I have it, you know, like installed it. It was part of a Humble Choice recently, I believe, or something that I subscribed to. And I just have had no interest in firing it up. And I love Mass Effect, but it's just, I don't need a remake of Mass Effect. It was great. And it was what it was. Give me a new one.
And I know the remake of Max is going to be great. There's going to be lots of new people that played Max for the first time and go, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. And it is. It's really good. It's fantastic. One of my favorite franchises of all time. But I don't need a remake.
Yeah. Hopefully what it does is compels them to make a new Max Payne. Because that would be more exciting. I would love to see new Max Payne more than remake Max Payne. But it will potentially open up Max Payne to a new audience of people for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You want one of those? Let me see.
You want one of those. I love it.
There you go.
Hello, my dear.
And now you can hear him through there.
Hello, my dear.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hey.
You like invading this show, don't you?
Have you played any games recently?
Horizon?
Did you play Horizon?
No.
Yeah, I've just been a little bit since you played Horizon.
Hi, Jamie.
Hello, babe. How are you?
Good.
Very good.
I haven't done any games.
You haven't done any games.
I have been watching you destroy dinosaurs. Huh? I have been watching you destroy dinosaurs. You're pretty good at that.
I did it really good, and and I destroyed all of them.
Yes, you did. Yes, you like, did.
You like fighting dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
We're going to have to learn about health. But other than yes. that, yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can help you out a little bit there. There you go.
You know what?
Your ears need to get a little bit bigger.
You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get her own.
I know. We really, earphones. That would be wise just to have some in here for when she comes in here. She can just pop right in her ears.
That would be fantastic.
I want a fancy Nancy ones. Hey.
You want fancy Nancy earbuds?
I think we could do that. I would pay for some of those.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. We got some purple earbuds.
Yeah, I think we could do that.
You're going to just have to hold it there, though, if you want to hear.
I think that's a great idea.
A couple other things I'll mention real quick as we're wrapping up here. There we go. You got it.
Hey!
Kingdom Hearts 4 is announced. Speaking of big game announcements that don't need E3, that would have been a big E3 thing not long ago, and it just came out this week. So, there's a trailer. Go by the show notes if you want to see that. GamingUncensored.com. Very pretty, very different look than Kingdom Hearts in the past. The kind of more modern kind of Final Fantasy look of things. If you're a Kingdom Hearts person, you'd probably be excited about that. Kingdom Hearts is that franchise that I wish I was still into. That, like, we played the first one and thought it was super cool.
What is
this? And it just got so convoluted and crazy that I've just not been able to keep up with
it. You know what it is? It's time.
It is very much time.
It's one of those games that if we had time, we would spend time with the entire franchise.
For sure.
But we don't have time.
Yeah, we definitely don't. And there's just too much other stuff compelling out there. Speaking of which, other stuff that's compelling. Big announcement for us. Nobody else is going to care. But if you have not played this game, you got to go play this game. And now there's an ultra deluxe version of this game for you to go play soon. The Stanley Parable getting an update. And the Stanley Parable is just fantastic. And so this is, they're calling it a, quote, expanded reimagining of the game. It's so good. If you haven't played the Stanley Parable, go pick up the new one when it comes out. Coming to Steam, Nintendo Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series XS on April 27th. So
we actually, you talk about something that we played 10 years ago.
Spider-Man.
That was Stanley Parable.
Look,
that was
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're doing that again. See, for some reason, I will buy that again.
Spider-Man.
Right. Because it's much less of a time commitment. The Stanley Parable, you're going to see what you want to see in 4 or 5 hours tops.
Right.
And that's brilliant. It's just a good package that's phenomenal, and it's not going to eat up all your time.
And they will get my money. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. I like everybody getting just this side conversation with Genevieve here, talking about
Well, okay, look. I should just invite
Mario.
Jeff to come back.
Babio.
They could have their own conversation with each other.
Absolutely, they would.
Speaking of Mario, since you gave us a nice little segue there, Mario Golf coming to Nintendo Switch Online, the N64 version, Mario Golf. So if you haven't played that.
I can't. Is that not already
on
the Switch?
And I would like to be home.
The new Mario Golf is. This is the classic one. So now you get the classic one and the Switch Online, which is phenomenal in a lot of ways, I think, better than the new one.
Yes.
The new one is great, too. And then, because we teased it, let me just mention this really quick. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, massive opening.
Hedgehog.
Yep, that's Sonic the Hedgehog. Massive opening weekend, $71 million in its first weekend. Biggest video game movie launch ever. As a reminder, or as news if you're not aware, Idris Elba plays Knuckles in it. Jim Carrey, of course, is in it. It's just like kind of star-studded thing that I thought sounded really, really dumb. And it's apparently really good. I haven't seen the first one. Gotta go see the first one. And apparently the second one is even better.
I, I thought the first one was a bad idea, but apparently I was totally wrong. There,
I know. So. Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog, especially like this live action Sonic the Hedgehog thing, just sounded so dumb to me. Is it James Marsden that plays Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah, I think that's
or
correct.
He's not Sonic the Hedgehog. He's the like protagonist, the human in it, I think. And then what's that guy's name that plays? I don't remember what his name is, but. Comedy
I feel like if we could find enough time, we should really watch the first movie while you're here.
Yeah, that would be but, good. Or yeah, watch the first one and watch the second one while we're together or something. So apparently we need to see them. I kind of want to see what she thinks about it. I think Genevieve might be into Sonic the Hedgehog. So
yeah, I think
we might be watching that at some point soon. So all that said, releases this week, I'll mention MLB The Show 22 is out to coincide with opening day. By the way,
you
baseball's
will play
back,
that.
Is,
you yeah, will play that.
I'm excited about that. On Switch now, also on Game Pass, and of course on PlayStation, which just it's everywhere, which is nuts since it's a Sony Studios, I believe, still, or a Sony published game. Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, which will let you play through the whole 9 movies of the Skywalker storyline. Wow. And it's apparently pretty, it's got 83 on Metacritic, but I've seen like so much hype about this game and people really digging it. So if you're a Star Wars fan, like that seems like a big commitment to me that it has all 9 movies like in a game form, but apparently it's pretty good. So there you go.
I think it's hilarious that we're talking about Lego Star Wars.
I know.
We couldn't get that done with actual Star Wars. We got to do it with Lego Star Wars.
Yep. But again, it's very positive on Steam, solidly mid 80s on Metacritic. Good for Lego Star Wars, I suppose. So there you go. Go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com. See stuff we didn't get to.
If you did not have a 40-year-old in your lap, I would ask you about baseball. We will talk about baseball later. Because we need to have a baseball discussion.
We'll do
no, I didn't.
Second.
We're almost there, baby.
Have you watched some baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you like in baseball?
The black guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean the brown guy.
The brown guy. Okay. Fair
Which
enough.
Which brown guy?
Do you like the Astros?
Yeah.
Have we been watching some Astros? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's yeah.
Even without yeah. Carlos Correa. They're still pretty darn good.
We'll talk about baseball for another sure. day because we really need to discuss.
We do
the baseball. We need to come up with a reason to bring back the inactive list, but that's a whole other thing.
That we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a fun little period of time.
But I have a 4-year-old telling me this show is over. And that means this show is over. Are you ready to wrap it, little girl?
Can you wrap us up?
I didn't wrap us up.
How do we end? What do we say?
We are entered.
And?
We're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.